Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We can sing all the new stuff we want to, but you know, great is thy faithfulness. That tells a story. Give the Lord another big hand for that. Thank you, Pastor Paul. You know, I love it when people are gifted and they can be spontaneous in spirit. I just told them, I said, can you do a little something for the offertory today? That was a little something. Now, can you imagine if I gave him a little warning what could have happened? But then I wanted to preach this morning, so I didn't give him no warning because he could. Am I back now? Oh, good. So he's saying, okay. We're going to go to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. We're in a series, kind of a mini-series, it'll be about another week or so, of knowing God. And some say, well, we all know God. We'll find out. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. This is a powerful portion of Scripture, and it kind of introduces all the things we need to know. Here's what the Bible says, and you read the responding verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And the light shines in darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That light was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him.
He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory that's of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Verse 18 together. No one has seen God at any time. Only the begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Let's pray. Father, today we're going to learn some things that we thought we knew about God. And Lord, it's just the things that we kind of assume about coming to church and about being a part of this congregation or being a part of the house of believers. But Lord, I pray that we would know you even greater before, as we listen to these words and we leave these doors, that we'll have a greater knowledge that we can tell the world unashamedly as to who you are. Holy Spirit, direct this conversation, direct this message toward the hearts of people who really want to know you, that want to tell others about you, that they may come to know you. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The knowledge of God from the very beginning of time is perhaps the best place for all mankind to begin our journey to uncover the knowledge about him. But as science and technology seemingly offer unlimited ability to access information by voice command, but also through inability to do these particular things, the desire to pursue a relationship with Jesus seems insignificant, with little or no desire to pursue. A relationship with Jesus often is given consideration as an option to be pursued when all else has failed in life, as we desired it to be, has succumbed to a diagnosis of death that cannot be overcome by the one who has resurrection power. In other words, he's limited. God can't do it. But as we continue our pursuit to know God, we will find Jesus as the light of men who has from the beginning, who was from the beginning and has no end. I'm going to say some things very directly to you that will be totally contradictory to what men believe or want you to believe. But here's a question for you today. First of all, are you prepared to know God as the Word manifested in Jesus Christ who was from the beginning? The answer is what?
Yes.
That's good. And I want you to be able to say affirmatively, yes, that's who the Jesus I want to know. Because the truth that I'm going to say to you, if you have questioned these things or, well, I kind of think that's plausible. I want to take the plausible out and make a positive, yes, that's who he is. Number two is this. Do you struggle with the truth that all things were made by him and no one else was involved?
No.
Somebody say no. And somebody say, can I think about that for a moment or something? Because, you know, the scientists, they've discovered new stratospheres and atmosphere. You can't discover nothing. God made it all, okay?
Amen.
Just because you found out today don't mean it wasn't there before you found out.
Amen.
The Bible says all things were made by him, and you feel like you're so smart. You ain't so smart. Why don't you get on a rock and try to get there? You won't get there in your lifetime, okay? How about this? Can you celebrate the fact that everything was created by the spoken word of God, except for man who was formed and shaped and received the breath of God to bring him to life?
Amen.
Everything else, God said, let there be light, let there be firmament, let there be other things. All of a sudden, he found a pile of dirt. Let me see if I can make me a man out of this. I want to tell you today, in the name of Jesus, you ain't nothing but a pile of dirt that God threw together, and you have no life unless he breathed into your nostrils, and that's how you get breath today. So if you were feeling pretty good about yourself, let me tell you, sister, it ain't your clothes, baby. Jesus put something in you so you could put them clothes on, okay? Oh, it's going to get rough today. Because I want to get you rock solid in what you believe about Jesus. Because it's so important. Well, the Word became flesh. And we're going to go into Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 38. You're saying, and some of you will wonder why he's reading this, but it's okay. Luke chapter 1, verses 28 through 38. And having come, an angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Go on to verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will be conceived in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of God of the highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Hold it right there. It ain't Christmas. So why are you telling us about Jesus being born? Because I got to settle with some of you folks that still worry, that just can't quite. Well, you know, the virgin birth is a lovely romantic story. And I think if people can just catch it for what it really is, it's just kind of like a symbolism of what could possibly have been for those who are weak of character. But God, Jesus really being born in the flesh, I really just don't comprehend that. You're in the right place. Because I'm going to help you with your attitude. Let's go on. Let's get these last little portions in there, okay? Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" There is where you are right now. How can this be? It defies everything I was told about the birds and the bees. She says, "I don't know a man." And so it's necessary for this connection to happen. And the angel of the Lord said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Last few verses, please. "Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was once called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Read that line with me. "For God, with God," come on.
"For with God, nothing will be impossible."
I want to tell you that not only for this particular teaching today, but for the rest of your life. It's not just for the situation you're facing today, but with God, nothing will be impossible. And this God of the impossible. Then Mary said this, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I want you to repeat this after me. Let it be,
according to God's word,
over my life. I want to tell you the things you may not understand right now, you need to allow the word of God to displace all of the things that you thought that could not happen in your life. Well, the word was becoming flesh is more than a Christmas story. Jesus is a word that existed with the Father from the beginning. And here's a part you need to know. In Genesis chapter 1:26, Jesus was part of, this is what Genesis 1:26 says. And the Lord, and then God said, "Let us make man in our image." Us is more than one. It takes at least two to be an us. But matter of fact, there's three. But we'll start with two for those of you who have, I will gently waltz you into three. But at least we're going to get two involved. Let us make man. And he says, in our own image, in our own likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over the every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Boy, did God give you an assignment? Oh, my goodness. But you can't move past or discount, let us make man. Jesus was in the beginning. It's not some conspiracy. It was something that was started from the beginning. Jesus is a full expression of the Godhead of heaven. Well, in Jesus, he was the light of man, and John was sent as a messenger of the light. That's what the Bible says. John wasn't the light. John was a prophet. The Bible says the law and the prophets were until John. And you say, what does that mean? That John was an Old Testament prophet. But you know, he's in John in the New Testament. How can that be? Really? Are you struggling with that? Well, if you want to struggle with, I'm going to give you some more. What we know as the four Gospels are the four Gospels. And the assumption is, and because the way it's categorized in our Bible, that's the New Testament. That's true as far as biblical books being put together. But a lot of the things that Jesus did were in the Old Testament time. What? Oh, you're going to learn something this morning. He's either going to think I'm a theologian or a heretic. One of the two. I don't know which one. But I'm thinking, wait a minute. Because remember, Jesus many times would quote the things that Moses said and what different ones it said. And they're struggling with the Sabbath. And they're struggling with all kinds of different things. But you know what? I'm not going to tell you this yet because I'm going to make you wait. Otherwise, you'll turn me out. But the world did not know Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. This is great. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Or they put it on a lampstand as it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now let's put this in the time zone where we are. Who was Jesus talking to? Disciples. Those who believed in him. He says, you're the light of the world. Now is that scripture time sensitive? No, it can be carried over into who we are today. Because when we have accepted the light of men into our hearts, we become who Jesus says we are. You are the light of the world. Once we receive the light of Jesus, something is transformed in our life. There's a lot of us for us to learn, but what this is that believers are the light of the world. And do you know wherever you go as a believer, if there's darkness there, when you show up, light is there. That's why people don't want you coming to their parties. No, Sarah, don't come. Because things really change when you're here, and people feel guilty, and they feel dirty. Could you just kind of not come to the party, okay? Do you find there's a little group and they start whispering something and all of a sudden it stops when you get there? Light exposes darkness. Oh, yes, it does. Or do you find it's you know, people that have a rather colorful language, that their language changes when you come around? Don't be ashamed of that. It is just the light that's in you that exposes the darkness that's in them. Don't taunt that as something, but realize that your life is making a difference. And so that's what by knowing God, you are who Jesus says you are. You are the light of the world. Well, anyway, the world did not know the believer. They didn't know him. They didn't want to receive him. John chapter 1, back to verse 10, it says this. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. I want to renew your assignment. That you would feel feel deputized and ready to make sure that your life depicts who Jesus is and people want to get to know him. Well, the veil of unbelief prevents people from knowing Jesus, and the darkness of the world hinders people from seeking out the light of truth. But Jesus coming into the world was totally divine in nature, and it could not be received by those who chose darkness over light. The Bible says, men chose darkness over light because their deeds were evil. Have you ever gone to a nightclub with lights on really big? Ever gone to a nightclub with lights like this? No. They get it as dark as they can. That you can, you know, you don't stumble and break your neck and sue them. But they like darkness. And isn't it interesting? People will say things in darkness they won't say when the lights are on. They talk all kind of crazy when it's dark. Baby, you is so fine. I ain't never seen nobody look quite like you. Turn the lights on, okay? Well, I should have left that one alone. Yeah. You might find her weaves a little skew. No, leave it alone. Okay. Well, Jesus came to his own and they didn't receive him. But the law and the prophets were until John. Luke 16:16. The law and prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Now, that's kind of a really bold statement. When it says the law and the prophets were until John, John had only one assignment: to introduce Jesus, to baptize Jesus. Now, let me help you theologically for those who said, why did Jesus have to be baptized? You guys are talking about baptism. Why did Jesus have to be baptized? So you'd be baptized. But Jesus didn't have any sins. But he was an example for you of burying your old life and being resurrected into new life. That's what baptism is all about. If you think it's like the Olympia beer commercial says, it's the water that makes a difference. No, it doesn't. Now, see, some of you remember that old advertisement. It's the water that makes a difference. That artesian water that y'all was doing. You get just as drunk with something else. But the point is that Jesus' baptism by John did a couple of things. One thing is he shows you the importance of baptism, and everything that Jesus did, you ought to do. That I just don't feel it in my spirit right now to be baptized. I'm just really not there yet. Really? I don't have time to go into the real conversation that Jesus had with John, but I will tell you this much, that Jesus said to John, he says, oh, I don't understand it. How can I baptize you? He says, wait a minute. He says, suffer these things to be. This is how it's supposed to be. You know, when you're called upon to do something for the Lord and you don't feel qualified to do it, believe what he says about you. He says, you're the one I've appointed to do it, and great things will happen. You know, the Acts of Jesus in the four Gospels still contain elements of the Old Testament until, this is what changed everything, until the cross, the burial, and the resurrection, and everything changed. Woo! Glory! If you want to get fired up, start reading that book of Acts. Woo, Lord Jesus. That's when things kind of stirred up. Peter, who was the least qualified person to preach. So I want to talk to you folks who really feel least qualified. He got the reward of the least qualified person to preach. He couldn't get it right. He said, "Oh, Lord, you shall not be. These things shall not happen to you. They're not going to take you to the cross." He said, "Shut up, you devil. Satan, put this thing in your mind." He's literally rebuking the devil out of the fellow. And then, if that ain't enough, when he's about ready to be taken into custody or taken into custody, he said, "Oh, I've never met him before." Him over there? Now, he's about from here to that pew away from Jesus, and he said, "Oh, I don't know him." "Oh, surely you're one of them. You talk like him." "I do not." Then he starts swearing, saying words like "dag nabbit." "I'm going to keep it clean." And then Jesus appoints him to be the spokesperson on the day of Pentecost to birth the church. You know what I want to tell you? There's still hope for you. Doesn't matter what you said, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how far you got away from God. God will not only take you back, but he'll give you the opportunity to do the things he's appointed you to do. The devil says you're finished. God says you haven't even started. It's an amazing thing. Well, I'm going to get into a story I think will help us. Jesus reveals his identity to a Samaritan woman. And I love this story. It's in John chapter 4, verses 4 through 15. 4 through 14. We're going to go. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat by thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Sixth hour would be about noon, because they started their counting hours from 6 in the morning, so it would be about noon. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. I want you to turn to somebody and tell them this. This is a setup. Tell somebody this is a setup. What? Here's a setup. Would Jesus use this? Oh, absolutely. Jesus would use any situation because Jesus was not only in the right place at the right time, but he was designated to do something very great in this person's life. Jesus engaged a Samaritan woman in a conversation over what else? Over water. Oh, isn't that exciting? So they're coming to the well. It's about noon. And I'll give you a little backstory to this of what I believe. Now, I may be theologically incorrect. Probably not, but it could be. But I believe the woman came to the well at 12 o'clock midday when it's the hottest because she didn't want to see anybody. She says nobody comes to the well at that particular time because there was something in her life that she really wasn't too pleased about. But Jesus is sitting there waiting for her. I want to let you know that God loves you so much that even your plan to avoid an encounter with him won't work. He said, "How did you get my number? Why are you here?" Because God loves you. And if you, and this is one of the nature about God, Jesus will go out of his way to meet up with you to bring you what you need more than anything else. So here we go. And then the woman of Samaria said, asked him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans?" Here we go. A whole ethnic thing. We all have all kind of ethnic issues in our culture now. And so she feels like the way I can get rid of this guy is I'm going to tell him, "You know what? I'm a Samaritan. In case you didn't look at me, I'm a Samaritan. I may not look like one. I'm a Samaritan. And you're a Jew. And we're really not supposed to be talking to each other. So could you kind of get out of my way?" Jesus is not turned off by the things that you feel that disqualify you from being in his presence. I need to help somebody that's sitting here right now What you were doing last night, last week, 2 weeks ago, or whatever, does not hinder Jesus from speaking to you and getting your life where it should be. You're not here by accident, and the Holy Spirit's going to say some things to you that will change your perspective on you and on life in general. So anyway, Jesus allowed his real-life experience of humanity to reach out to the Samaritan woman, and there was no pretense of his request from the woman, and Jesus confronted the issue that could have kept the woman from discovering who he was and what he had to offer. Well, some people identify with their nationality. And the woman identified her nationality. And to get Jesus to know, to get to know Jesus, we must overcome the things that we believe that will prevent us from having a relationship with him. I remember growing up in Portland, we lived, our family was African American. I know you're shocked. But go ahead, just ponder that for a moment. And we lived in an all-Italian neighborhood. The Sirianis, the Amatos, somebody else's, whatever they were. And we're right in the middle of this particular place. But the problem was, Probasco sounds Italian. Doesn't it? It's a Probasco. It's a pizza Probasco. Some people would get kind of confused, and they'd knock on the door, and we'd open the door, and they're like, oh, whoa. We got that look a lot of times because we didn't fit the profile of what they were expecting. And, you know, I've had people say things like, thinking they're complimenting, well, you don't sound black. And what does black sound like? So I, on purpose, went into theatrics, and I can mimic anybody's voice. And I just do it on purpose. What's the matter for you? It's a no good for you. I'm a good for this. You are crazy in my presence. You want to play that game with me? I'll show you how to play it. Well, let me get back to the story. So the nationality thing was an issue. And the woman believed that her nationality and her gender were hindrances for having a relationship with Jesus. She says, didn't you realize I'm a woman? I'm a Samaritan? And Jews don't talk to Samaritans. They just don't do that. Well, to know Jesus, we must recognize him as the gift of God. And the Lord says this to this woman, if you knew the gift of God, as in your presence, you would say to him, give me a drink. I want some of you to get a picture of the thing that you think is impossible for God to do with you and to have the confidence to ask Jesus to do something that you think that he won't do because of something that you just don't qualify with. Well, Jesus made it clear that there was a difference. That knowing the gift of God was one thing, and living water is available to all those who ask it from him. There's not one person in this room today, not one person, that if they ask Jesus for his salvation, that he will not give it to them. What? Everybody qualifies. And if the devil told you anything different, that's what he's supposed to do. Because he doesn't want to lose contact with you or relationship with you. Well, Jesus made a clear distinction between the flesh and the spirit. He says, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that says this to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. I need to help us with this living water thing. Because remember, we're trying to get to know God. Well, why would Jesus do that? Because we're about to get into her story, and you're thinking, I don't know about this. The Samaritan woman thought she could have what she needed to deal with her thirst, her spiritual need and physical need. She needed to discover the reality or discover who Jesus was before responding to the question, because he says something to her, and he says, She says, well, sir, you don't have anything to draw anything out of the well, and it's really deep, and this is Jacob's well, our father's well. And Jesus says, so you know what? I'm not interested in the logistics, okay? But he says something. He says, whoever drinks of the water that I give him, they'll have everlasting life. Now watch this. And he says to her, he says, they'll never thirst again, but the water that I will shall give them will become in him a fountain of spring into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water to drink that I may never thirst again. And this is classic. This is classic Jesus. Go call your husband. Now, what does that have to do with a drink of water? Everything. And I want to tell you, there will be times that the Holy Spirit will give you something to say to someone, and you're trying, how does that fit in the conversation? But it will be the key that opens the door to their life. And the Holy Spirit will make known to you something that you didn't know before, but it's not for you to be, sit out a sign that, I give psychic readings to people. I get words from God. Shut up. Put your sign away. But allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Because this is where it really comes to a place. Well, she thought she had discovered who Jesus was really before she responded to the question. The revelation of her relationship failures was a key to her getting to know who Jesus really was. And he says, sir, go call your husband. And she says, I have no husband. And he said, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have five husbands, and the one you are with, you have, is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. If that isn't a conflicting sentence, I don't know what is. He says, congratulations, you got the right answer. You don't have a husband. You have five. And the one you have now, this could go either way. You didn't bother to marry him, so you living with him. And the five you got rid of, so you kind of told the truth, but you still got a problem. And the indication here is that Jesus will tell us some things about us that are for us. To let him know that he's God and he's concerned about us. Personal information. Well, Jesus wanted to deliver this woman from one thing that every single person in this room needs to be delivered from. It's called religion. Because he's talking about Jacob's well, and this is the mountain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so he says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews say it's in Jerusalem is the place that where we ought to worship. How do we get in this conversation? Talk about deflecting. If you really want to answer some questions, tell me about your five hubbies and your live-in boyfriend. We can talk about that. But all this religious jargon ain't going to get neither one of us anywhere. Well, the revelation of her relationship failures was the key to her getting to know that Jesus could bring her true healing. Let me speak very frankly to some of you here now. I don't have the time. It would be hard for us to get together with every person here and for you to tell me your story of the ups and downs and things and choices that you've made that you're really not proud of. And some of you came through these doors today hoping there was not a prophetic word to expose your whole life. Relax. God is not into shaming people. He doesn't work that way. But this one-on-one conversation, he gave this woman an opportunity to come clean. Go call your husband. Can you imagine what the response was? Well, I've had five attempts at marriage. None of them have worked, and I'm living with Joe down the street. But she didn't go there. But you know what I like about this? Jesus didn't give up on her. In the same way he hasn't given up on you. Because you didn't tell your story, because you didn't tell all this different stuff, he doesn't walk with you. Well, if you're going to be some lying woman over here, I'll get my own water from somebody else. Thank you very much. Have a nice day. No. So, discovery is amazing. Well, the truth of what happens is the revelation of her failures was a key to her to getting to know Jesus. And Jesus wanted to deliver her from this religion. So if we go to verse 33, it says, therefore the disciples, John 4:33, therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? Because now they've come back. And so we'll never get a clear understanding of Jesus until the truth about Jesus we're standing under. Understanding, let me give you a definition. I think it will help you. Understanding is based upon something you believe to be true that you're standing under. Say, that's the way it is. So that's your perspective on understanding. It's the truth you're standing under. But this woman found out the truth of what she was standing under had to be changed because she couldn't lie to Jesus. She's saying, I have no husband. That's not true. You've had five. And once the truth is told, then something can happen inside of us. Well, the Father desires that we enter into worship based upon a true revelation of who Jesus is. John 4:26. Let's get to that one. The Father desires that we enter into worship based upon a true revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And what he are you talking about? I'm the truth. You've been talking with truth this whole time. That's who I am. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm your ticket to the kingdom of God. And here's what's amazing about this. And so our confession about Jesus is the only and true Messiah. And his revelation to us about who he is to let us know that he knows everything about us, but still will offer us eternal life. What? I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to say it in a blanket. There's nothing you ever have done or will do that will prevent Jesus from offering you eternal life. What? There are things you've done and said and never told anybody. And some of you are sitting here today saying, well, I really appreciate Pastor's sermons, but if he only knew what I did or this thing I've never told anyone about, then he'd understand why I don't answer an altar call because I don't believe I'll ever be forgiven. Really? Every sin you ever committed was nailed to the cross that Jesus was on. Well, but this last little part, I think you'll love this. This is the testimony of the Samaritan woman. We go down to verse 30. The testimony of the Samaritan woman brought people to Jesus. Now, this is a part that I think is going to be helpful to a lot of us. Read verse 30. It says this. Then they went out of the city and came to him. Well, let me get a little bit further here. And let's see here. Okay. And this is when his disciples, I'm going to read this out of the text. I forgot to put the scripture in there. And he said to them, this is after the disciples come back. And he says, the disciples said and urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. And he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know of. And therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. But here's the part that really gets busy as far as it's concerned. Now, verse 39 says this, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, I told him He told me everything I ever did. All he told you is you had five husbands. But she turned around, he told me everything I did. You know why she said that? Because that was the deepest secret of her heart. And if he could reach in there and take the thing that she was most ashamed of and tell her that, he told me, because this is the thing that would hinder me from coming to a person like Jesus. I want to tell you something as you're sitting in these pews today. I want to ask you a question. What is the thing, the deepest thing in your heart that you believe would prevent you from coming to Jesus? Because I want to let you know right now, Jesus will forgive you. Let me insert a story. It was back when this church started. We were out on 82nd Avenue. Our church had only been going for probably about 8 months. So that would have been 41 years ago. And I was sitting in my office, and this fellow knocks on the door. And I open the door, and this guy's just petrified. He's just totally petrified. I'm thinking, what is this? I need to talk to a preacher. That would be me. I'm a pastor, but I guess I'm a preacher too. So he comes in, and he just falls apart. And he's wailing, and, you know, I'm thinking, what on earth is this poor man going through? Well, it turns out, let me real quickly go through the story. He had just gotten out of the military. And he was a few blocks away, and he's walking down the alley of a particular street. And he saw this pie in the window. And, you know, there was a little lady in there who just baked the pie. And he just kind of motioned her, and he said, oh, yeah, nice pie. And she kind of invited him in. Well, he just been released from the military, you know, such type of thing. I'm making excuses for him. The way this thing ended up, it didn't end up good. He ended up raping this woman. And he comes to me, and he tells me his particular story. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And you know what the Lord said? Before you call the police, lead him to Jesus. And so I started telling him, I said, well, you know, regardless of what you've done, God, he was crying and wailing, some other type of thing. I said, let me tell you something. I can't remove the consequences of your sin, but I'll tell you what, Jesus can save your soul. And I'm thinking, what am I doing? I should be calling 911 or whatever. This is before cell phones and all sort of type of thing. And don't you know, in that tragic moment of his life, regardless of how bad you thought it was, he found Jesus. Did I take him down to the proper authorities? Absolutely. But that did not keep me from bringing him to the only person who could take care of his life. He said, oh, you mean something that fresh, Jesus will forgive you? Absolutely. Let me give this last little bit that this lady had, and then we're gonna close. Well, she says, he told me everything I ever did. And when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. But watch this. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, but for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I don't want you to base your decision so much on what I said, but I want you to base it on what Jesus says. Any man comes in unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. And you are a candidate for the power of God to overtake your life and for you to have new life in Jesus. So as worship team comes back up there, there's something that needs to happen today. I sense there are people here in crisis. And you haven't done anything as bad as I just described. But I want to remove the barrier that would keep you in that place of believing that you're so far away that Jesus won't bring you in. I want you to know the Jesus that can forgive anything that you've ever done and bring you into his kingdom. Let's bow our heads right now in Jesus' name. Wow. Lord, I don't have the ability to know or to figure out all the things people have gone through in their life, or maybe in the last week. But I know something that I really know, that you offer eternal life for those who desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I pray for people that are here today that have this shame factor that would prevent them or seemingly prevent them from opening up their heart to accept Jesus based upon something they did, they said, or something they won't let go of. Lord, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would permeate and would remove the guilt and the stain and the horror, and they would see themselves before you, transparent, that when you will be able, you'd really be able to say that Jesus has seen everything I've ever done, and he still is offering me eternal life. Leave your heads bowed for a moment. The Lord just put a picture in my mind, and the words in big letters, S-H-A-M-E, shame. And did you not know that that is the thing that the devil uses more than anything else to keep people in their sins? It'll make you come for water at the hottest part of the day in hopes that you don't meet up with anybody because you can't look them in the eye, you can't have a relationship with them because the person you're with or the things you've done, you don't want to talk about it. I want to give you an opportunity to talk to Jesus about it. So as I pray now, Lord, would you please release people from shame today to come to you and to have a relationship with you. Lord, we know you as a God that is not pushed away by bad decisions or by shameful things that have been done, but you give them everlasting life. With heads bowed and with eyes closed, I know you're here today. Would you like Jesus to do that for you today? And I'm talking about people that you say, well, I thought I know Jesus, but there's still this thing that's holding on to me that keeps me from really committing 100% to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor, I really need it. I need that. Lift it up high where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you, someone else. God bless you.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.